So we are going to continue in our sermon series in the Ten Commandments. So if you have a Bible, you could turn to Exodus chapter 20, verse 15. And this morning, we're going to be talking about the eighth commandment, and it is about stealing, all right? So the title of the message this morning is Don't Take People's Stuff. All right, and I know that feels almost like insultingly simplistic. And there were a lot of options for the title for the message this week. But it's intentional in that I do want us to pretty deeply reflect on stuff. And I do want us to really think about that apostrophe S, that idea of possessing stuff. And what does it mean to possess stuff? And do we even possess stuff? And what are we to do with? And how are we to think about our possessions and the possessions of others? It's important. It's actually deeper, much deeper than we might think as we look at it at the surface level. How big a problem is stealing in America? In 2023, 6.5 million property crimes occurred in our country, resulting in $280 billion in loss. Across all businesses, when you sort of zoom in on these numbers, employee theft. So not them stealing from us, but us stealing from us, right? Employee theft. Cost up to $50 billion per year. Fraud, time theft, embezzlement. Internal retail theft was $27 billion. So people just taking things, but they work there. It's interesting, right? In Raleigh in 2023, that same year, there were 12,500 property crimes. That's one in 38 people that either committed a property crime or had it committed against them. And did you know that less than 15% of these kind of crimes, property crimes, result in an actual arrest, in an actual justice taking place? That's low. And so here's what I want to say, just kind of as an intro, as we kind of approach the subject this morning. The reality is that stealing has always been a problem in every society. And it's still a problem in our advanced, sophisticated, moral, so-called society. Huge in scale, millions of incidents, massive in cost, billions of dollars. Widespread negative impact. Businesses, consumer costs are higher because goods are stolen by employees. And policing is very low in success. And so that is kind of what we're talking about as we come to this eighth commandment. And so now let me just read to you quickly Exodus 20. Verse 15, which is short, sweet, and simple, like most of the Ten Commandments. Let me read it to you, and then we're going to keep going, all right? So, verse 15 of Exodus 20, are you ready? You shall not steal. Notice that it does not say what you can steal and what you can't steal. It doesn't list off the things that you shouldn't steal so that you can know, all right, some other things might be all right to steal. It doesn't say who it is and isn't okay to steal from. It just gives a generic, a blank, a very broad and super encompassing commandment. You shall not steal. You shall not steal. This command is, I looked at it, I researched it a bit. It's in the second person singular. Okay, you shall not steal. You shall not steal. You shall not steal. You shall not steal. I shall not steal. It's second person singular. It's for you. It's for us. This same word is used throughout the Bible. I know that that's no surprise, right? Because it's life. And the Bible's about life, but in Genesis 31, Rachel stole from Laban, same word. In Genesis 44, we see when the brothers of Joseph came to Israel. This is after Joseph was kidnapped and he sort of elevated in the ranks in Egypt. And he was sort of like Pharaoh's right-hand man. And his brothers came during a famine to see him. And Joseph's like, let's test them. And so he puts some silver in their bags and they go back. Then they get arrested. And then they say in verse 8 of Genesis 44, how could we steal silver and gold? That's that same word, steal. In the New Testament, John 10, Jesus says, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. And so I'm just showing you all the places where it's mentioned because I think sometimes we think stealing's out there, stealing's over here. It's not. It's so relevant to our lives. It's part of the fabric of every day for us. Whether it's happening to us, affecting us, or a temptation for us. Ephesians 4:28, the word again, let the thief no longer steal, but let him labor. And so a definition of stealing is this. Here it is, ready? This is rocket science. Stealing is taking something that does not belong to you without permission. It's a sin against God, our provider. It's a sin against our neighbor who is made in the image of God. It's a sin against our community, and it's a sin against ourselves, depriving ourselves of the opportunity to do God's will, to work hard and to earn something or to receive something. So for Israel, as they are here receiving the Ten Commandments, think of it. Put yourself there at the base of Mount Sinai, Moses, the Ten Commandments. As they are receiving the Ten Commandments, now they've come to the eighth, and the command is like, hey, in times of need, in times of plenty, in the wilderness, in the desert, in the Sinai desert, when you get to the promised land, in your tents, in the camp, or in your houses, or in your mansion. Within the community or toward other nations as you conquer them. Thou shalt not steal. And it applies for us in that same way, doesn't it? In every season, regardless of our status, regardless of our position, thou shalt not steal. And you know, it's not just that stealing is prohibited, but think of what's underneath that commandment. Just think of it for a moment. Just take a moment and deeply reflect on the eighth commandment. Thou shalt not steal. Then we are to be of utmost countercultural integrity as Christians. Well, that person doesn't steal. Even in little things, that person doesn't steal. They're different. We are to be people who are grateful because that undergird stealing is ingratitude. People who are content, we're to be people of great faith and trust in God's provision for us. We're to be people who are hardworking. We're to be people who are respectful of others' possessions, of others' time, of others' property, of others' money. We're to be people who, what are we basically saying here? We're to be people who love our neighbor as ourself. Thou shalt not steal. And so the outline this morning is, it's kind of like stuff 101, all right? So we're just looking at stuff 101. We're looking at the possession of stuff. That's our first point, the possession of stuff. Number two is going to be the pursuit of more stuff, the right and wrong ways to pursue it. And number three is going to be the ultimate purpose of stuff, all right? So first, with stuff 101, let's look at the possession of stuff. And it will be some pictures here just because I think it's helpful just to even visualize this and understand, like, hello, there's my stuff and there is not my stuff, all right? That's reality. That's the reality in God's ordered universe. And it is all from God. And it actually is all his stuff, ultimately, as the creator. And that very much is the point. In fact, the first little point, we'll say A and B under point one, is the point about God's ownership, okay? So look at Psalm 24. It says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and those who dwell therein. You might say, why? Why is it all God's? Verse 2 answers, for he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the rivers. Have you ever made something? You make something, it's yours. You make something, you're like, that's mine. I made that. God owns it all. He's the creator. He is the eternal God who pre-exists creation. He is eternally God. Everything is his ultimately. But I do want to make this point. As we consider God's ownership, I want to remember that God does give us ownership. Okay? Of some things, but not everything. And I think that can sometimes be a missed point. You know, sometimes we get so into emphasizing the fact that, you know, God owns everything. I own nothing. Well, that's true. I guess that's true if you're trying to really emphasize the fact that we're managers, we're stewards of what God owns. You know, that is true. But it is equally true and biblical to say that God has given us ownership of some things. Keyword would be inheritance. The key idea is personal property. I was reading a book by Alistair Begg, and he says, he's a pastor, he says, the Bible does not forbid private ownership. It establishes it. So there is God's ownership over everything, right? But consider for a moment your ownership, my ownership. Psalm 16 says, the lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Indeed, I have a beautiful inheritance. Lines, property lines, boundary markers, right? Where there is on one side of the fence, my yard, on the other side of the fence, your yard. Okay? There's a famous story in the Old Testament where King Ahab is in his palace and he looks over the fence and this guy named Naboth has a vineyard and he's like, I want the vineyard. It's right next to the palace. And Naboth won't give it to him. Because he says, this is my inheritance. This is our family's. And so Jezebel's like, why are you crying in bed and laying in bed all day pouting about not getting a vineyard? Get up. Let's kill Naboth. And so they do. It's a wicked story about stealing. Anyways, inheritance. My ownership. Sometimes people look to the early church, the New Testament. They look to places like Acts chapter 2. I'll just read it to you. I don't think we have a slide for this, but Acts 2:42, it says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers, and awe came upon every soul, and many workers, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. Watch this, verse 44. And all who believed were together and had all things in common, and they were selling, verse 45, their possessions. Their possessions? What do you mean? You mean they owned something? You mean people in the early church weren't socialists? You mean they actually understood personal property? You mean they had possessions? I think it does mean that. And they were being generous, and they were selling their possessions and their belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. Okay? And so the idea that we own things is a biblical idea. It's not prohibited by the Bible. It's established by the Bible. God owns everything, but he gives us ownership of some things, but not everything. Again, back to the picture. There's God who owns it all, who gives. There's my stuff, and there is other people's stuff. And there are boundaries. There are lines between these two things. And this relates to, you know, possessions, material objects. It relates to really everything, though, doesn't it? Time. This is going to be my new verse, my new go-to verse. Whenever I'm doing premarital counseling for a couple and I'm talking about boundaries with your families. You know, because you got to establish boundaries. Boundaries are healthy. Boundaries are a God-given thing. And it's important that you know where your boundaries are, where your family ends and another family begins, and you're able to then give to someone rather than them constantly hijacking and stealing. That's not generosity. That's not giving. And when we're always hijacking and stealing people's time, people's attention, people's money, whatever, we're not giving them the opportunity to be generous. You see? It's so relevant. James 1 says, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights. 1 Peter, everyone's received a gift. We're to serve one another as stewards of God's varied grace. 1 Corinthians 4, it's required of stewards that they be found faithful. So there is God. He owns it all. He's given us some stuff. We are made owners of it. We are to be faithful with what God has given us. We are to understand God has given other people other things. He has not given us everything. It seems so basic, right? But we have a problem with stealing. And so we need to go over these basics. The possession of stuff. And so now let's look at the pursuit of stuff. The right and wrong ways to get more stuff. And this kind of gets into the eighth commandment. And so the pursuit of stuff, right and wrong ways to get more. Again, I want to show you a picture. Okay, here we go. That's it. That is the key to the eighth commandment. Understanding that God has given me some stuff. He's given other people some stuff. A lot more, actually, because when you look at what God has given you, there's no way it can be equal to what God has given everyone else all added together, right? And we are not to take other people's stuff. That's stealing. Exodus 20, verse 15, you shall not steal. Think of all the people that we steal from. When we steal, we steal from ourselves. We deprive ourselves of the opportunity to honor the Lord in ways that He desires. We steal from the community. We ultimately lessen and weaken our own community, our own family. When we steal from God, who is our provider and worthy of our trust in His provision. We steal from our neighbor. All the ways that we steal. Think for them then, for the Israelites. You know, there's a lot in the Bible about dishonest scales where they're weighing things and, you know, you're putting your finger on it to make it weigh a little bit more, get a little bit of money. There's a lot about robbery, a lot about fraud. There's things about slavery, stealing people. It's absolutely horrific and a sin. There's things about charging excessive interest as a borrower in a lender relationship. The various ways they would have stolen. Think of the ways that you and I are tempted to do this, though. And some of us, you know, as we consider this commandment of stealing, we're like, man, this is so good. I hope Matt gets invited to do prison ministry and he can share this with all of them because none of us struggle at all with this. Right? That's what we think, but it's not right. Think of all the socially acceptable ways that we steal, that we break the eighth commandment. Cheating is one. Plagiarism is one. Stealing someone else's hard work for yourself. Gambling is one. Absolutely, gambling would be considered a violation of the eighth commandment. I believe that. You win. 1,000 other people lose. Win, lose. Plagiarism, pirating. Did you know that one of the most pirated movies of all time is The Passion of the Christ? Dishonest sick days. You know, there's so many like socially acceptable ways of stealing. And please hear me. I understand how important it is that we obey, right? Like the spirit of the law. That we not get overly excited about the letter of the law. And we begin to walk around with the heart of a Pharisee in these matters. But we're to be people of integrity. We're to be people that hear God calling us to be holy as He is holy. The pursuit of stuff, right and wrong ways to get more. The wrong way is stealing, so not stealing. How are we to get more stuff? How are we to get God to give us more of that stuff, you know? The pursuit of stuff. Are there legitimate means by which we can pursue more stuff? There are. One is asking. Asking. You say, I've been asking, but no answer has come. That's why I'm stealing. No. Asking. Matthew 7, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. We've heard this verse before, but this is a verse where Jesus is trying to help us see the Father's good heart for us. He's the best kind of dad. Do you provide for your kids? When they're persistent and they ask you for things, do you harden your heart? Or do you think, how can I get that for them? God is better than you. God is the best kind of parent, the perfect heavenly Father. Ask, seek, knock, and it will be open to you. It says, for everyone who asks, and the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, it will be open. I'm going beyond the slide, I know, but Matthew 7, verse 9, which of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, we'll give him a serpent. If you then, who are evil, that's us, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Ask. You know, possession of stuff, the pursuit of stuff, not stealing, but asking. God, I just want to commit to a season of prayer. I feel like there's some things that I don't have that I believe you want me to have or that I want, and I don't know if you want me to have it, but I'm going to commit to a season of prayer, asking. I'm going to put a reminder on my mirror. I'm going to wear my watch on my right hand. I'm going to try to really remember to seek you for these things, God. Asking. And now a big one here, working. Working. Ephesians 4, 28, this is a very important verse when it comes to taking the Ten Commandments in the Old Testament, now bringing them into the New Testament, right? Ephesians 4, 28. Look at this verse. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. That is a commandment from the New Testament. It's interesting, just him saying, let the thief no longer steal implies that to continue in this habit of stealing is a contradiction of our conversion to Christ. Part of bearing the fruit of the Spirit is to walk in ongoing repentance from our former ways. So, working hard. That's how we pursue more stuff. God, give me work to do. God, give me a better job. God, help me be a person that shines bright in this crooked generation to show what integrity and hard work look like. That's what Christians are supposed to be, people who show people how to work. Work is not part of the fall. Work was ordained before the fall. It was given to Adam in the garden. Work is a good thing. It's a place where we can really glorify the Lord. The purpose of stuff, all right? So, stuff 101, don't take people's stuff. That's the title. The possession of stuff. Now, the pursuit of stuff, right, and wrong ways. Legitimate and illegitimate means of pursuing stuff. And now, third, the purpose of stuff. Again, a picture where we can kind of understand and see what we're actually supposed to do with our stuff. What God's will really is for us as we relate to our stuff, to God, and to other people and their needs and the stuff that they do or don't have, right? There's an A, B, and C under this point, the purpose of stuff. The first one is to enjoy. To enjoy. So one of the things God really does want us to do with our stuff is enjoy it. That's true. Live in that. Today, after second service, when the Pelican Snowballs truck pulls up, just understand that God created all those flavors and gave you taste buds to experience and enjoy them. I want to encourage you before school starts, before you get more stressed out with the fall, to get a pelican snowball and just sit there, close your eyes, and glorify the Lord. Enjoy it. Don't be all weird about it. Well, I'm on a diet. I'm on the carnivore diet. No. Okay, if you're on a diet, I respect that. But I'm just saying, enjoy it. 1 Timothy 6 says, as for the rich in this present age, charge them not to be haughty nor to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but on God who richly provides us with everything to enjoy. God created sunrises and sunsets. God created the scents of all the flowers and the grass. God created the scenery. God created the tastes. God created the colors. God created all the things that we enjoy. He made them, and he's given us some of them, and it's okay to enjoy them. It's not super spiritual to deny yourself of any kind of enjoyment. It's okay. The purpose of stuff is to go, hey, God, thanks for this stuff. I want to thank you by enjoying it. Another purpose is to give back to God. To give back to God. This comes from Malachi 3, verse 8. Now, I know this is the Old Testament, and I know that the tithe and all that's in the Old Testament, and we're now in the New Testament, right? So we do more than tithe. We do grace giving. We're everything's multiplied. So I know that I don't want to like dumb it down, you know, make us feel like little people that would only tithe. I know you're much bigger than that. But I'm just saying, Malachi 3, verse 8 says, will a man rob God? Yet you are robbing me. But you say, how have we robbed you? In your tithes and contributions. The point is just that one of the great purposes of the stuff that God has given us is he's given us the opportunity to participate in the worship of God with God's people, to be part of the church, to be part of, in the Old Testament, the temple, to show faith in God. God, I will give you the first fruits of my harvest, of my offering. I will show you, God, I'm putting my faith in you. I can live off 90% if we're talking Old Testament and trust you, Lord, that you will abundantly provide. You see what I'm saying? And to not be generous, to not give back to God is a violation of the eighth commandment. The purpose of our stuff, to enjoy, to give back to God, and then to share with others, a huge purpose. Deuteronomy 15, verse 11, for there will never cease to be the poor in the land. Therefore I command you, you shall open wide your hand. Maybe even open wide your hand as we read this, to your brother, to the needy, to the poor in your land. When your hand is open wide, it's hard to clench and hold on to things. We're to be a people with wide open hands. God can't fill clenched fists either. Well, he can. God can do anything, so let's not get carried away with the little pastor sayings. But you get the point. You know, something that's sort of just like flying behind and above and under the surface of everything that we're talking about here with this eighth commandment is the fact that we are living in such a temporary world. And yet, God's creation is eternal. And so when we talk about stealing or when we talk about getting things and we talk about obeying the eighth commandment, just remember that the point of that is the respect of personal property. And we talk about the legitimate pursuit of getting more stuff, right? And we talk about all of this stuff. And just remember that Jesus comes on the scene and he says, do not store up treasure for yourself on earth where moth and rust destroy and where the thief breaks in and steals. But put your treasure in heaven. Invest in eternity. where God is literally guarding your inheritance for you. That's so important to remember as we think about the eighth commandment. You know what else is important to remember? That all of this is a heart issue. It's a matter of the heart. In fact, in Matthew's gospel in chapter 15, verse 19, he literally says, Jesus does, out of the heart comes theft. But you know that anyways. It's a heart issue. Want to obey the eighth commandment? Want to do better? Want to not steal? Want to not do respectable and socially acceptable types of theft? You better not try to do it on your own. You need God's help. You need to have a heart transformation. And where might one find that? How are we to be people? Again, we said this at the beginning. It's not about just not stealing. It's about being countercultural in your integrity. It's about being deeply grateful and content in God's provision. It's about respecting others truly in what they have. It's about being hardworking. It's about trusting God. It's really about loving our neighbors, isn't it? It is. It's about investing eternally. All of that comes from the heart. How would you go about getting help at the level of the heart? Do you know? Friends, God's grace is the only way. That God would send his one and only son to live a sinless life full of perfect obedience from a sinless heart and go to the cross and be nailed to the cross and die to pay the penalty for our sin, for our theft, for our robbery, for our burglaring, and take upon his shoulders the sin and the judgment that we deserve, and then give to us his righteousness. Deposit in us his heart. Fill us with his spirit. That's the good news. That's the gospel. How do you get that? By faith. By faith in Christ. By putting your faith in Jesus. By lifting up and extending toward the cross the empty hands of faith. You know what I've always found interesting? That when Jesus died on the cross, he died right in between two thieves. Two thieves, just thieves. Doesn't say murderers, just thieves. Matthew 27, then two thieves were crucified with him. That's with Jesus. One on the right, one on the left. Two robbers. Luke 23 gives us a little more. It says, one of the criminals who were hanged railed at him, that's at Jesus, saying, are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us. But the other rebuked him, saying, do not fear God. Do you not fear God? Since you are under the same sentence of condemnation for being a robber? That's right. And we indeed justly, for we are receiving the due reward for our deeds. That's us. But this man, Jesus, has done nothing wrong. And he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said to him, truly, I say to you today, you will be with me in paradise. It's amazing, right? Two robbers. One of them didn't, in the end, see their need for grace, for heart change, for Jesus. The other one did. Which one are you? The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus comes that we may have life and have it abundantly. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you this morning for this great word of encouragement, Lord, that you are a crucified Savior, you are a risen Savior. And God, we're the thieves. We're the ones who have broken the eighth commandment, who have taken what is not ours. And Lord, you give us also what is not ours. the righteousness of Christ. Eternal life. And so, God, you are a generous God, and we bless you for that this morning. And we pray, Lord, that you would make us a people, a church, a people who go out into this community and who shine brightly with stunning countercultural integrity. Not Pharisees, not the letter of the law, but the Holy Spirit filling us to honor you in all that we do and all that we touch. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.